Welcome to Mac Voices number 511. This is the talk of the Mac community, and I'm Chuck Joyner. Today, we talk to the creator of one of the most respected and most mature of the many sound utilities for the Macintosh, Lucius Kwok, the author of Sound Studio. Sound Studio has been around since Mac OS 8 and has continually been updated as the operating system has evolved, adding new functionality along the way. With the release of Sound Studio 3, the story enters a new era, with new features and a new relationship with Freeverse software. Lucius tells us all about it and delivers some tips on how to use Sound Studio to convert old records and tapes to digital format, what some of the audio filters do, and how you might use them, and more. Now, let's hear from Lucius himself. Joining us now to talk about my favorite program for recording sound is Lucius Kwok, the creator of Sound Studio. Lucius, welcome to Mac Voices.
Thank you.
Lucius, first of all, I want to say thank you for Sound Studio. I've been using this program for I don't know how many years. It still remains my favorite workhorse for sound editing in spite of all the other things that have come along. And I think that there's something to be said for any program that stands the test of time, especially in the changing Macintosh environment. And now you've got a new version of Sound Studio coming out, so I'm going to ask you just to give the listeners a quick introduction to Sound Studio and what it does and why they might want to consider it as their sound editor of choice.
Thank you. There's a new version 3 of Sound Studio out now, and it's an easy-to-use Mac OS X application for working with digital audio. So if you have tapes or records you want to digitize, or if you want to make podcasts, or if you have any other kind of live recordings like lectures and stuff, you can turn that into digital format and edit it and do all sorts of things with it on the computer.
It is a linear editing program, and it is, while it is a destructive linear editing program, the amount of functionality and the ease of access to that functionality, I think, is what helps it stand the test of time.
Yeah, the primary focus was to make it really easy to use for people who maybe they're coming from a tape background or maybe they've never used a computer before. It's designed to be really easy to use. There's not like a whole bunch of knobs and sliders everywhere. It's just a waveform in a window, and you edit it as if, you know, if it were a texted document.
Lucius, can you give us an idea of what is new in Sound Studio 3? I'm sure there's some listeners who are going to be familiar with Sound Studio 2. What have you done to improve it or make it even more useful in today's environment?
Well, Sound Studio 3 has quite a number of new features. The big ones are multi-track, so you can have more than two tracks in the same file. It also supports audio units, and some of the new things in 3 were new things in 2.2. Actually, version 2.2 is quite a big step up from 2.1 because I recompiled everything in Cocoa and essentially rewrote quite a bit of it.
Now I see you're going to be supporting the MP3 format with the lame plugin installed?
Yes, you would just need it's called a framework. It's like a system library. You would download it and put it into your system. And Sound Studio uses it to save an MP3. Now, the old version and this version both open MP3s with no problem. Also, it saves an AAC, which is Apple's preferred format for storing compressed audio data. I think it's a better format, but unfortunately not everybody supports it.
Now, you mentioned podcasting. It's my understanding that you've built some features in that are specifically for podcasters. Is that the AAC format and the MP3 format, or are there other features that I haven't seen yet or found out about yet?
Well, I've added Audometer support and AppleScript support specifically for better supporting podcasts. So now you can have a Audometer workflow that does noise gating and normalize on a bunch of files. You can batch process them, essentially, and save them in MP3. And all you have to do is do the RSS and uploading, and you have a podcast.
Lucius, can you give us an idea of the utility of some of the effects and the filters that you have built in. There are a lot of things there that I think most of us don't know much about. We wouldn't know what to do with the noise gate. We wouldn't know what to do with the flanger, for example. Echo and reverb, everybody knows. What all do they do, and how do they add to the utility of Sound Studio?
For most people, I think they don't really need to use those effects. But if you want to make your recording sound more professional, you would typically use dynamics effects to smooth out the levels and, on the other hand, also remove like the noise between words when you're doing something that's spoken, for example. A lot of the other effects, like backwards or chorus, are more specialized effects that musicians would use to give their sound a very, very different sound than what people are used to. And there's also audio units if you want to use your own plugin for a lot of more specialized and more professional and a whole bunch of a world of opportunities in audio unit effects.
Lucius, I believe you recently did a deal with Freeverse so that now they are the distributors of Sound Studio 3. Is that the right arrangement, or is that the right description of the arrangement?
But they're more than just the distributors. Now they've taken over the marketing and sales. The main benefit is I get to spend more time programming and less time answering emails about support and getting the software, handling sales and a lot of boring stuff like that.
That definitely makes it a lot easier on you.
Yeah. Plus, I like, Freeverse guys are pretty cool. I was just up there on Monday talking to them. They're pretty laid back, but they've got the connections to the distributors to get Sound Studio into places like the Apple Store. So they've also created a whole box, artwork, and a little manual and the CD. And they're still in the process of producing that, and it should be in stores next month. Actually, this is November, right? So it would be by the end of this month.
Just in time for the holiday season. That's perfect.
Yes, indeed.
Lucius, one of the things I know that Sound Studio in the marketing material talks about is the ability to use Sound Studio to take some of your old recordings off of audio tapes or even vinyl and digitize it, get it into your Mac so you can use it in iTunes. Give us a quick idea of how Sound Studio can be used for that and maybe some of the special tools that you have built in to help the users accomplish that task.
Well, when I wrote Sound Studio, it's because I had a bunch of tapes and records that I just wanted to digitize, and there were not really any tools to do that. So at first, I just recorded stuff and just cut off the beginning and the end and just put it on CD. That was pretty low quality. Now with Sound Studio 3, you can do it in 24-bit quality and higher sample rates. But for somebody who doesn't quite know how to do that, they just need like a tape deck and or a turntable and maybe a receiver to get a line level output. And then most Macs have a built-in audio input, and you can use that, or you could use something like the Griffin iMic. And you put that in, and you set that up in the preferences in Sound Studio, and you make a new stereo recording. Typically, you want to use 44.1 kHz, 16-bit. This is all the defaults when you go to new in Sound Studio. And then you want to make sure you open the input level meter window, which is under the window menu, and start playing your tape or record and check the levels. Now, the levels should go to about maybe negative 6 decibels. There's a little scale on the input meter window. But it can be a bit lower because in Sound Studio you're recording in 24-bit, so you have quite a big noise floor to work with. So you can record at very low levels and then use normalize later to bring everything up. Now, it only converts to 16-bit when you save it. So when you save it and close it, that's when you can lose a bit of quality. So you have a tape or a record. There's also a feature in Sound Studio, which is under the automatic recording. And you can set it up so it starts recording when it detects a level and then stops recording after there's maybe 8 seconds of silence. And that lets you record your tape or record automatically. So you can set it up start playing and then walk away, and it'll be done at the end of the record or tape. After that, you do the normalization. Some people might want to use the Dynamics compressor, but that's more for a more professional audio producer. And save in either uncompress AIFF if you want the highest quality, or you can go directly into AAC or MP3 if you have the LAME framework installed. And then you can put that into iTunes. So that's the recording process in a nutshell.
You mentioned normalize or normalization. What exactly is that, and what does it do to the music?
Normalization is the audio effect that raises the audio level so that it fills the entire bandwidth. So if you record something at a fairly low volume, if you don't normalize and then turn into something like MP3, you'll have quite a bit of noise in the recording. While if you raise the volume, you improve the signal-to-noise ratio of the recording. Now, the way normalize work, it's a bit different from some of the other effects. It actually analyzes the entire file and finds the highest peak in the file, and then does some calculations to see how much of an amplification you need to do to bring the peak up without clipping that peak. Now, clipping is an important concept in digital audio because clipping is a form of distortion you really want to avoid. And clipping happens when your level meter goes above 0 decibels, which is the very last bar on the input level meter.
Lucius, what's the difference between normalizing and amplifying? I know that you can bring the volume up in Sound Studio, but normalization, you're saying, does something different?
Okay, so the difference between normalize and amplify volume is that amplify volume doesn't do the analysis that normalize does. So you're sort of doing it by ear when you're using amplify volume, while normalize is a much more scientific approach to it.
So normalization is a better filter to use than just amplifying and looking at it, I guess, and doing it by the seat of your pants.
Yes.
Any other post-processing that will help that conversion, since a lot of times some of those audio sources are not equivalent to what we're used to now with the advent of digital music?
Well, there's third-party plugins or applications such as SoundStope or Raygun or Click Repair that have algorithms that can remove things like clicks and pops or even just general surface noise. Now, for clicks and pops, though, there is an interpolate filter, and the way you use that, you manually zoom in on an individual pop, you select it, and then you apply the interpolate filter, and it draws a line so that it smooths out that waveform there, getting rid of the pop.
And then is there any specific process for moving the recordings over into iTunes? Should they just save them out as MP3 using Sound Studio, or do you think it's better to pull them in as AIFFs into iTunes and then do the conversion?
Well, either way is fine. If you want to use the LAME framework, you can do it in Sound Studio. Well, iTunes has its own encoder. So the LAME framework is an open source software encoder. I think it's pretty good. Some people may want to use the iTunes encoder. Also, you'll need to set the artist and album information in iTunes, since that's not yet supported in Sound Studio. It will be in the future.
Lucius, maybe take just a minute for the more novice of our listeners and explain the LAME encoder versus the iTunes encoder and what we're talking about when it comes to that.
I'm not quite sure how to really explain it. It's a rather technical thing. I mean, for the average user, they're not going to notice the difference between the LAME encoder and the iTunes encoder. You can set the bit rate, and you can make it stereo or mono in both iTunes and in the LAME encoder via Sound Studio.
So it's just a matter of preference of interface?
Yeah. Or if you like open source software, go with the LAME encoder.
Lucius, I'm sure you get a lot of feedback on this software. What are some of the most interesting things you've had people tell you that they do with Sound Studio or record? What kind of projects have they gotten into?
Well, there are a lot of schools that use it. There's schools where there are blind children using it as part of their curriculum. One interesting thing is some film studios use it to record, like, the scratch tracks for their animated films. And that's essentially when a film is animated, they do the voice first. But they don't get the actual voice talent to do that. They have just the whoever's around just say the words just to get the timing right, so then they can build the animation on top of that. And then later they have the actual actors come in and do the real voice. That's the reason why there's a feet and frames ruler setting for those people who use film to do that.
That has to make you feel really good that you're having that much effect on that varied a set of lives and professions.
Yeah, although since most of my contact is through email, it's actually kind of limited. But I do get quite a bit. I used to get quite a bit of email. Freeverse handles that now.
Oh, but that doesn't mean that folks shouldn't write in and let you know what they're doing with the software and give you some good stories. I'm sure the folks at Freeverse would pass those on.
Yeah, or if it's something you want to contact me directly, you can go to felttip.com and you go through the support section and there's still email. You can email me.
How much does Sound Studio cost at retail, and how are you handling upgrades, since I know I'm still a Sound Studio 2 user?
So Sound Studio 3, the retail box, costs $79.99. And upgrades for people who have bought the Sound Studio 2 license is 50% off, so that would be about $39.99. Plus, there's also academic pricing if you're an educator or a student, so there's further discounts, and there's site licenses, and you'll have to contact Freeverse for the exact details of all those. It gets pretty complicated, but I try to cover all the bases there.
Lucius, how far back does Sound Studio go? When did it first debut?
Kind of hard to believe, but it's been over 6 years. Back then, I was programming for Mac OS 8, if you can remember. There was no Mac OS 10 back then, so that was quite a different environment. Sound Studio was much simpler, though. There were not as many effects, not as many file formats, but the basic ease of use and the waveform display and the general speed of editing was all there. Now Sound Studio requires Mac OS X. It's built in Cocoa, so it's totally modern.
And the fact that it remains a viable product is a testament, I think, to the utility, to the effort you've put into it over the years. When GarageBand came out, a lot of people really liked that. And it certainly has some bells and whistles that are useful, but there's still nothing like a good workhorse program like Sound Studio.
Yes, GarageBand has been a very worthy competitor. Although I think it's a slightly different market than what Sound Studio does. GarageBand is more marketed towards people, musicians at home, laying down tracks and making songs with instruments. Sound Studio, I think, is a more general purpose audio editing tool.
Have you felt any pressure to change the very simple, very familiar interface of Sound Studio to compete with GarageBand, or do you think they really are that much different that there should be no competition?
I think they're quite different products. Certainly, I've not had any users tell me that they want the GarageBand look and feel on Sound Studio. Actually, when I released 2.2, there were some things that changed from 2.1, and a lot of people were used to the old user interface and would email me to fix it so it would be the same.
We don't talk a lot about the production of Mac Voices, but in this case, this is a little bit of an exception because this is such a terrific tool, and it's one we rely on heavily here. And I would encourage anyone to go out to the Freeverse site at freeverse.com, download Sound Studio. There is a limited time full function demo that you can take a test drive with, play with the effects, record your voice, find out what they can do, and find out if Sound Studio is for you. Lucius, thanks so much for stopping by and taking the time to talk to us a little bit about the new version of Sound Studio. And again, thank you for a terrific product.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on your show.
We've been talking to Lucius Kwok, the creator of Sound Studio, now from Freeverse. Again, go to the website at freeverse.com and check it out. To close the show, I wanted to give you a quick reminder that Macworld Conference and Expo in San Francisco is coming up, and you can still save on registration for any of the many and varied conference tracks by using the special Mug Center discount code. By registering with code H0701, you get 15% off all conference packages, including the Mac IT conferences, the Power Tools conferences, and more. You can learn all about the conference tracks on the Mug Center's Macworld Notes section by listening to Paul Kent, the conference chair for Macworld Conference and Expo, in an earlier edition of Mac Voices, or just go straight to the Macworld website at macworldexpo.com and register. That code again is H0701. I am both happy and sorry to say that the Mug Center's Macworld hotel deal at the Park 55 has sold out. If you were quick, you got in on a terrific rate, a great hotel, and a nice package of benefits from Circus Ponies, Mesa Dynamics, O'Reilly, Serene Saver, St. Clair Software, and Tropical Software. Thanks to everyone who expressed an interest, and thanks to all of you who will be joining us at the Park 55 for a terrific week in San Francisco. And finally, I want to be sure you know about the other podcast that I'm part of, Mac Notables, the finest panel of Mac experts anywhere. Dan Frakes of Macworld Magazine and Playlist just joined the team that already consists of Chris Breen, Brian Chaffin, Jim Dalrymple, Adam and Tanya Angst, Andy Anako, Ted Landau, Bob Dr. Mac Levitis, Dennis Sellers, and Jason Snell. You can find both Mac Voices and Mac Notables on the iTunes Music Store, or visit their respective websites to subscribe to each show. I'm Chuck Joyner, and that's the talk of the Mac community for this time around. Thanks for listening, and you'll hear from me again soon on the next edition of Mac Voices.